WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm Keith A. Much. J. Timothy Quirk is a cartoonist, freelance journalist, and the regular host of the Nutmeg Chatter program on WAPJ. In this interview with J. Timothy, we will discuss how Nutmeg Chatter came to be, what are favorite moments in the program, and what does the future hold for the show. So I hope you enjoy our chat with J. Timothy Quirk here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, J. Timothy Quirk.
Thank you, Keith. It's such a pleasure to be here talking to you. Always a fan of your work, and I'm a fan so much that I interviewed you in one of the earlier episodes, so it is only fitting that now, at the for the last show of the year, that you're interviewing me. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for the invite. You do seem awfully familiar. We've done this before. Well, tell us about Nutmeg Chatter. What is Nutmeg Chatter all about?
Well, Nutmeg Chatter is an idea that I had for preserving the stories of the world of arts and culture here in Northwest Connecticut. Something that I had recognized from way back was this idea that there was this incredible, rich, almost talent, mountain of talent.
Absolutely.
Here in Northwest Connecticut. There is such almost an embarrassment of riches. Of talent, whether that talent happens to be musicians, mm-hmm. whether that talent happens to be in the world of art, whether it's the talent of theater, lots of amazing theater.
Oh, absolutely.
And all of this was going on, and it occurred to me after reading a book about Paris. It was Ernest Hemingway's A Movable Feast. Mm-hmm. And in that particular story, in that book, he talks about all of these very famous expatriate writers mm-hmm. in Paris, and they all get together and they find each other and they form this community, and that's what we have here.
We
and
do.
So what I wanted to do is to kind of preserve to a certain degree this movable feast, if you will, mm-hmm. in Northwest Connecticut in a bunch of different ways. And I had started by just writing about it, and then when the opportunity presented itself to have a radio show, I decided to take that idea and transition it into an interview format radio show.
And it's turned out to be quite the tradition, and with such a long and varied history.
Well, it's been an exciting journey in terms of, I've been doing Nutmeg Chatter for a number of years just in writing. Mm-hmm. And I have done a lot of freelance journalism. What I found at a certain point, a lot of my work started going into the Register of Citizen, which I enjoyed because it gave an extra venue in print, mm-hmm. Having the words in print.
Of course.
That helped promote what people were doing within the community, and I liked that. But I still did my own write-ups in Nutmeg Chatter as well. What I decided to do when it became a radio program this year, I did not, at the start, think that, it wasn't that I didn't think that it would last, but I didn't know how consistent it would be. And I thought it would be a success mm-hmm. if I was able to do 52 episodes, which is one episode every week.
Okay.
And this week, we hit episode 60.
That's remarkable. That's you've done a wonderful job, and I thank you for allowing me to participate in this. So you segued from the Crayon Diaries, I believe.
Well, the Crayon Diary is a comic strip that I had drawn and created, and that's still in print in New York in a newspaper in New York. I had also been submitting it to a local newspaper here. Mm-hmm. At a certain point in time, because of something beyond my control, they had switched how they were formatting the particular page.
Sure.
There were a number of technical dimensions that they wanted me to hit, and I could do that, but it would take an enormous amount of energy and time.
Sure.
that for a, kind of a volunteer work, for the love of doing it, wasn't the best usage of my time because I was still doing it for a different newspaper that was in print and the format was fine. So I stopped doing the crayon diary locally. I now do it exclusively for the New York paper. So a lot of the references deal with New York because
Sure.
that's the readership. But instead, what I've been focusing for Connecticut is the Nutmeg Chatter experience, which is preserving the arts and culture world.
And it gets, well, you're also specifically targeting certain locales, again, in New York with the Crayon Diaries. It's specific to that area, and with Nutmeg Chatter, it's specific to the northwest corner of Connecticut.
You're right. In fact, I had a comic strip, another comic strip in Nebraska that took place in Nebraska. So there's something for me about preserving a particular unique setting, because each unique setting has its own unique voice and culture and ways of doing things. And I like it. I like it for different reasons. I like the way New York looks. I like the way Connecticut looks. I like the way Nebraska looks, all for different reasons. And so I wanted to kind of, whatever I find interesting in that particular place, I want to capture it somehow. And as an artist, I found that a fun way to do it is to create comic strips about it. Now, and I still do that for New York, but now for Connecticut, I focus on the radio show.
That's fantastic. And it is interesting that each community, every place you might live, every place you might visit, has a distinct atmosphere or flavor. Not better, not worse, just different. And that's got to be an interesting experience all by itself, reporting on different areas.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to live in many different areas of the country. Was born and raised in Massachusetts. Then for nearly 10 years of my time, I lived in Chicago.
Oh,
So I
good.
did a lot of traveling within the Midwest there. Then for about 7 or 8 years, I lived in Atlanta. So I lived in the South. So for a period of time, I ex explored, Atlanta and South Carolina, and a little bit of Florida. Didn't really travel too much there, and then I moved to Connecticut. And so, Connecticut really is the place that is home. It
Yes.
feels like a home. I mean, I still feel at home in Massachusetts, of
Of
course,
course.
but in terms of the place where I am doing my best is in Connecticut.
It's where we all call home.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this would be a two-part question then. What do you find are the differences that stand out when you travel to different places, and what where are the similarities? How are people uniquely different in different parts of the country, and how are we all the same, in your experience?
I'm going to answer it slightly differently, and I'll try to circle back and complete the answer in a fuller sense.
Of
But
course.
let me describe how I looked at Torrington in a way. As I described, I travel at different communities, and I've drawn comic strips and about different locations. And Nebraska has a very specific, very flat landscape. Very kind of a slower talking methodology of
Of course.
communication than, say, New York or Boston
Of
in
course.
terms of communication. Doesn't make one better or worse, it just makes it slightly different. But in terms of the things that are of interest, it is different. And so I would look at the different landscapes, and I would try to capture that particular landscape and that type of feeling. When looking at New York, there's obviously a very different feeling
Of
there.
course.
There's a lot of, especially in Auburn, New York, which is where it's located. There's the Finger Lakes region, and so there are different, very interesting locales. Dealing with the lakes and
Of
what,
course.
how that kind of lake life, if you will, that I'm capturing. I enjoyed looking at all these different places and seeing what made them different and unique. But I wasn't doing that at home until one day it clicked, and I started recognize and I recognized in my mind that, hey, you know, in Torrington we have, at the time we had a baseball team, which was the Torrington Titans. It used to be the Twisters.
All right.
But I said, okay, well, we have our own baseball team, and you know what? We have two competing newspapers. In some communities, they don't have one. You know,
yeah, of course.
So,
yeah.
You know, major markets may not have any, or it may only have one. We have two competing newspapers, which I think is fascinating. We have a lake. We have a radio station. I started listing all these things in my mind, and I realized, wow, we have an amazing community right here in Torrington, and I saw it. I saw it as a tourist would see it, and that's when I started the journey to capture that.
That's fantastic. Well, let's continue the second part of that question in a moment. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll come back to you in just a moment. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter with J. Timothy Quirk. And we've been talking a little bit about the differences in all communities that you've been traveling to, and as well as the similarities. And it occurred to me that, have you ever found that people behave similar to how they might drive in different locations?
I've made jokes about it, I guess, but it's all based upon what your predisposition is, I guess, and how fast you want to get someplace.
I have noticed how how people from New York, depending on upstate or in the city, do drive a little bit differently from each other, and as well as us nutmeggers, and you know, in Connecticut, we drive a little differently too.
That's true. The you know, and then if you are around a major metropolitan areas such as Boston,
yes,
it's very hard to drive fast when there's nowhere to move your car because of the traffic. Same for Atlanta when it snows.
Oh boy, yeah.
You know, so
oh, yeah.
It's a very different experience. But
especially, I've heard right around DC, when it snows, it throws everybody for a loop because almost everybody's from out of town.
Well, and it feels almost like it's a surprise. Wow, but that's only because of the rarity of
the snowfall in that area.
But it's a wonderful community in its own way, but the community that I'm now focused on most is the one that I'm at.
Of course,
and I think that's a very wonderful realization for me to be able to recognize the community that I'm at for what it is.
Sure.
And I didn't even get a chance to even say things like the Warner Theater, the Nutmeg
sure,
Ballet
yeah.
Conservatory, two huge hallmarks, amazing things that are beacons to
yeah.
other people in other communities that would come here to see it. You know, that's, but when you live within a community, sometimes there's almost a myopia, if you will, and you don't see those things because you're busy getting gas and getting to the,
sure.
you know, to the store and then going home.
We've got our daily lives to lead.
Daily lives, that's right. But stepping outside of it just slightly and seeing all the amazing things that are here, I'm so happy to be able to capture that.
Oh, yeah. Well, many people in the Torrington and Torrington area specifically in Litchfield County don't realize that Torrington is a micropolitan community. As I understand it from the Wall Street Journal, it's the number one micropolitan community in the country.
Really?
Yes.
I like being number one.
So. We are number one. Well, we're number one in a way that many people don't actually realize. And what that simply means, and not to interject while I'm interviewing you, but this is something a lot of people don't realize in our area, that what that means is we have a population of only 35 to 36,000, but we have all the amenities of a much larger community.
That's true. That's very, very true.
And most people, and again, you've traveled, as have I, and many people in this area don't realize that the rest of the world takes longer than 10 minutes to get anywhere.
That's true. Not every location has multiple opportunities for theater.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You know, one might be lucky to have one, even if it's a school production or a church production.
Sure.
It's very different than in here in Torrington, where we have so much great community theater. And in fact, it's hard for me to even put the word community in front of it. It's just so much great theater that happens to be community theater.
Exactly right. Yeah, the tagline is, it might be community theater, but it's the quality of it is so much more than just community theater.
I've had some experienced some extremely exceptional theatrical experiences here, some amazing performances that really, you know, can inspire anyone who's in that audience. So one thing that I would just say is that if you haven't gone to the theater in the community and you hear this and it inspires you to do so, please do so, because you might feel that same inspiration. I hope you do.
I believe you will. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. So the second part of that question was, in all of your travels, what do you find a unifying factor? How are people in all the different communities that you've spent time in the same?
I think there is the same, because I believe people kind of gravitate towards the same, like birds of a feather flock together, I guess.
Of course.
So for me, and I describe myself, I guess, as somewhat of a creative person with at least with creative interests.
Absolutely.
And so the people that I have met in different communities have the same, similar, if not not exactly the same, but similar interests within the world of arts, within the world of culture. And so the similarities are that people, no matter where you're at, have that innate drive to create.
Absolutely.
There's always an innate drive to create. And the difference is whether there are opportunities to express it.
Sure.
And we are so lucky to be in an area where there are many opportunities and venues for people to express it, not the least of which is WAPJ. If one is interested in the world of broadcasting, this is an amazing opportunity for people to actually learn broadcasting.
And it's an incredibly supportive staff and community of, it's not just community radio, it's a community of people that are
right.
here to enrich each other, help each other out. That's what I found myself.
That's right.
And we all want to be we want the freedom to express ourselves, paraphrasing your response. We all want the to be able to express ourselves, and the more resources we have available, the more ways we can actually get involved in our community and share our experiences and our perspectives with each other.
That's right. I fundamentally agree with you.
we're preaching to each other's choir here. Absolutely. Okay. So my next question here is your experience in interviewing people and getting out there in the community. What have you learned either about yourself, about the community, about the people that you've interviewed? I imagine it's been somewhat cathartic. Tell us about that.
For me, I've learned as much as the listeners learn when, you know, the interviewee is sharing their personal history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more often than not, the conversations aren't driven based upon kind of a need to, you know, elicit a particular emotional response for ratings, for shock value, for anything like that. It's mainly to just have a conversation, have a real conversation. The way we're having a real conversation now. I mean, we're just talking. And in that, that's exactly the feel that I like with Nutmeg Chatter, where we're having a conversation about different things of interest, finding out more about where people are coming from. And so saying all that, I think one of the most inspiring things that I've heard is how, especially in the theater community, people have a family there. And sometimes those pieces of the family change or within, you're part of one show and then you're part of another show. But within it, there's this entire community that really looks at each other as it bonded together as this community, as this family, and they help each other when in times of need, in times of stress for them, for people that go through individual things
Oh, sure.
in their own lives, and they're there together, and they go through it together. And I've learned from that, and I think that's something very special that people might not necessarily think of when they just see on the marquee such and such a show is here. Well, you know what? There's an entire rich setting, a background of that, of people pulling together to create that piece of art that will exist for only one period of time in front of an audience.
That's remarkable. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back to you in just a moment. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter with J. Timothy Quirk. Very interesting information, and it is, I find it intriguing how, in all the different communities you've been to, all the different people that you've interviewed, you find a common thread, something that ties us all together. I'm a big fan of science myself and psychology and how we as a species, we're all the same in many, many ways. If it was any other way, we'd be find each other even more intolerable on our bad days and perplexing even on a good day. So for that I thank you for your contribution in that. So my next question would be, where do you see Nutmeg Chatter going in the future?
Well, one of the things I want to continue the opportunity to present interviews in the way that we have done so in the past year, but I would also like to expand the idea, still using the same time frame, same format, and same message of sharing the world of arts and culture, but kind of do it in a unique way of telling individual stories, kind of like a start to finish of what is it like to put on a show, or what's the history of the Goshen players, or what is one particular story within Winstead that might resonate throughout the rest, of Connecticut. Tell individual stories, not just in the interviews. So I might conduct interviews, then compile a bunch of the pieces together, and then weave a story that is within the same time frame, but tells a complete story. And I want to do a little bit more of that.
That sounds fantastic. I think I again preaching the choir, but I think that's a worthy cause. We have so much in this area to share with people in the area. So where can people find you and your work online?
The best way is, first of all, if you're on Facebook, check out Nutmeg Chatter on Facebook. If you're online, not on Facebook, you can always find it on nutmegchatter.com. Every single episode, 1 through 60, will be up online. In fact, when this airs, there'll probably be a lot more, but we'll have all of the episodes for the year archived, and you can go back and you can search by person, search by interest, and learn about the rich community here in Northwest Connecticut on nutmegchatter.com.
So to backtrack just a little bit, how many episodes are there in Nutmeg Chatter at this point in December of 2017?
There's 60. The
60.
this past Monday was the 60th. I just interviewed Robert C. Fullerton and Angela Luna, who are two musicians who banded together to create a duo called The Angel and the Hustler, and that was episode 60. And so by the time this particular show airs, we'll probably have at least four more episodes for our, for the rest of the year. And so, we'll have at least 64, 65 episodes. And given that I had a goal of 52, we've exceeded that, which is good. And there are 52 quality episodes, not just 52 episodes. So to have 64 quality episodes, including an entire history of WAPJ, which ran for an entire week, I thought that was great.
Now, how do you select your interviews? How do you select the people that you're interested in interviewing?
A lot of it is serendipity. A lot of it is if somebody has a particular show that they are producing, or music that they are creating, or book that they are writing, or dance or visual arts that they are creating. People are creating all the time here. And so it's a question of either I come across it and say, would you like to talk about that on air? And if many times it's a question of just scheduling. You know, people do want to get the word out about what they do and what they create. And so a lot of it is just reaching out and talking to people about what it is that they do. Some people have reached out to me. And the only caveat is more of trying to schedule time.
Sure.
Because sometimes when people are available, it's not the same time that when I'm available.
Exactly,
and that's
right,
the only thing. But I look forward to interviewing so far all the people who have been able to reach out to me. There was one gentleman who I had spoken to for almost 6 months before I actually got him on the show. And then I got him on the show, and it was great. I was happy to have done that interview. So sometimes scheduling is the only factor.
And people can be very generous with their time. It's just, as you said, just a matter of scheduling.
Right. And scheduling my time with what I
sure.
have to do, and whether it can be done during a day, whether there's an availability at night, that sort of thing. So.
Not an easy task, but the fruit of your labors is very clear, very obvious. And, I want to thank you
thank you.
Being a guest, our guest on Nutmeg Chatter.
And thank you for hosting Nutmeg Chatter. I hope there are many more Keith A. Much Nutmeg Chatterers to come.
So do I. I'd want to interview practically everybody on the street. Everybody's got a story, don't they?
They do. And that's when they do have that story, they want to share it. And there are some amazing moments, amazing pieces of humanity, or learnings about humanity.
It does give you faith in humanity when you realize we're all the same, and we all have something unique to contribute to our community.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music. So we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for more quality programming here on WAPJ. We hope you enjoy the chat.